Thank you, Lord Jesus. May you edify us with your word. I want to go to the book of Jude, and I want to highlight the encouragement from the book of Jude by Jude to the church. And of course, looking into the famous verse that Jude refers to in the first chapter, which is the only chapter, to be a contender, to be a contender and to contend for the faith. Now, that can be seen in two lights. That can be seen in the light of defending the true faith against false doctrines and cults and hearsays. And also, what I want to talk to us about today is to contend for the faith that we have received and to safeguard the faith that God has given us. Because sometimes when things happen or when trouble comes our way, our faith can drop. And we need to then contend for our faith. We need to contend for the faith that we received. We need to contend for the salvation that we've obtained. And we need to stay passionate and on fire for this wonderful grace and faith that God has given. So when that faith in our own life drops, that's when we need to contend for our faith, personally speaking. And that's what I want to talk to you about. So let us just read in that perspective the verses 1 to at least 3. Jude. By the way, let's just quickly get into the theology of this. The author of this letter, it's an epistle, is identified as Jude. Jude in German means Jew. The servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. So it's the brother of James that we get from 1:1, from the first verse. In the early church, there was only one James who could be referred to in this way without further specification, namely James, the Lord's brother. This Jude was most likely the same one who is listed as one of the half-brothers of the Lord Jesus. So Jude was a common name. So there are different views concerning the recipients of the book. But of course, we now know that the whole Bible was written to the church. And God has preserved his word throughout the centuries. And it's for us, the church. At the time of the writing, it was also for the church, specifically probably for the churches of Asia Minor. Same as Peter wrote to. Anyway, let's get into verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, being kept, we pray this prayer, Lord, guide us and keep us. That is being preserved in Christ. God, when you go wrong, God pulls you back. When you stir off the path, God pulls you back. God gives you plenty of opportunities to come back. That is being preserved in Jesus Christ. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, salvation for everybody, not just for a few special people, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So this is speaking, as I said, in that perspective, personally contend for the faith. Because the enemy of our soul is also the enemy of our faith, known as Satan, the devil, who wants to steal our faith. Yet through faith, we obtain all that God wants us to have, all of God's blessings. It is by faith we receive salvation. It is by faith we receive the blessings of God. And we need to contend for this faith. For there are certain men crept in unawareness who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance. He will pray, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Remember the first generation that came out of Egypt was destroyed. A lot of them was destroyed because they believed not. They went against everything that God just demonstrated to them. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Jude comes with a stern warning and says, look, the judgment of God is real. No matter what anybody else says or tries to lure you in, God is real and his judgment is real as well. As heaven is real, so is the judgment of God real. Contend for the faith. Do not be drawn away by anything that is not of God. Contend. By the way, if we look at the word contender in the dictionary, contender means being in a contest where only one wins. If you're a contender, you either win or you lose. So you gotta make sure you win. Remember the saying of Paul, I won the race. I fought the race. He won. Praise God. So we contend for this mighty faith that God has blessed us with. We remember that what Jude is warning us for. And as we are approaching more than ever before, even though it might take a lot of time still, it might not. Nobody knows when the Lord returns. We now have this blockbuster movie coming out yet again, emphasizing dispensational theology, which I personally do not adhere to, although I believe that this blockbuster movie called Left Behind will bring the fear of God in those that do not believe and might get more serious about the gospel of Jesus Christ. For that we thank God. Hallelujah. But we don't know when God will pull the final curtain. We don't know when he will pull the final curtain in our own individual lives. But what we do know is that every day that we live on this earth by grace, we contend for the faith. Hallelujah. And we try and bring as many as we can by not being shy, by being boldly proclaiming that what God has told us to shout from the rooftops, to declare unto all people that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, should not suffer the wrath of God, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Another warning. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke thee. Michael knew not to enter into this, but that Jesus is Lord and that the battle is the Lord. And he simply referred to that devil and said, the Lord rebuke you. Hallelujah. We look at the Bible and we see many that have been seriously contending for the faith in a more broader sense of the word. We see Daniel in the fiery furnace, in the lion's den, mightily contending and constantly winning. We see Job, who would not give up, who would not give up his faith, no matter what came Job's way. At one stage, we see when everything, and this is so amazing, and that's why God called Job perfect, and nobody else in the Bible God has referred to as perfect but Job. And why did God call Job perfect? I've often wondered, and I read through the book of Job, and then I see when everything went wrong with Job, he fell down and worshipped. That is faith. Nothing could take Job off course. And God knew that. That's why he gave, in a unique sense, a legal right to the enemy to try and destroy Job. We must thank God for Job. And we must thank Job that he went through all this suffering, because we can take encouragement from the book of Job. Job knew he lived for the eternal. Apostle Paul knew he lived for the eternal. His mindset was on eternity. Praise God. Amen. Paul, you could throw anything at him. Even the early disciples, you could throw anything at him. For example, Stephen, who was stoned to death at an early age, young in his ministry, looked up to heaven and saw heaven open. And the Father and the Son waiting to welcome him in his eternal abode. Praise God.
Amen.
I thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah. In Micah, one of the minor prophets, we hear the word contend as well. Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Shout it out. Sometimes you just have to read the word out loud and be encouraged. There is power. There is power in reading the word of God out loud. There's power in reading the word of God nonstop. There's power reading the word of God and coming entering into your mind. But when you verbalize it, it goes back into your ears. And it also goes into the spiritual realm, where you can declare things, the other world, the unseen world, the world in which we have authority in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, Jesus. This contending for the faith is mighty. As Isaiah said and warned us, that as we are going further and further into the future, we are getting in a further and further darker stage of the world. The book of Revelation warns us about this terrible time to come. Nobody would ever look forward to that. But the enemy would be one with his followers, with those that have sold their soul to him, to pursue and bring that moment to pass. Isaiah said in chapter 60, he said, arise and shine, for darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. What does that mean? That as we are approaching more and more into the future, or more and more to the very last day, which I hope is hundreds and hundreds of years away. Nobody knows, like I said. But one thing we do know, we got to shine brighter and brighter, because the people, the gross darkness that is on the people is darker and darker. So we need brighter and brighter for Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There is a revival, praise God, going on, and the revival is necessary. But contend for the faith for God's sake. Contend for the faith for the gospel's sake. Contend for the faith for truth's sake. Contend for the faith for sound doctrine's sake. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's look at John, because it so closely correlates to this. As we are contending for that faith. And here is another one. Simon Peter, who became a great contender for the faith. course he struggled in the beginning, but don't we all? I've never met a Christian that started off perfect. I've never met a Christian that finished perfect. Because that wouldn't be a Christian. Only Jesus is perfect. All we do is rely on grace, praise God, and do the best we can by faith in Him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Simon Peter, sure of anything, didn't start off perfect. He was about to deny the Lord 3 times. And well before that, Jesus prophetically spoke to him 3 times whether he loves the Lord. Later on, Simon Peter would realize, now I fully understand why he said to me 3 times, do you love me? And why Peter became upset the 3rd time. Because later on, he would deny him 3 times, just like that. John 21:15. And I think we should every so often ask ourselves the same question in our Peter moment or in our low faith moment or in our Mary and Martha moment. Praise God, somebody.
Hallelujah.
John 21:15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He says unto him, feed my lambs. He said to him again the 2nd time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. He said unto him the 3rd time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, upset, because he said unto him the 3rd time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Hallelujah. The 3rd time, thank you, Lord. The 3rd time, the Lord Jesus Christ said unto Simon, son of Jonas, in the Greek, agape. The 2 times he said, filial. Filial is a friendship type of love. Do you have a friendship type of love for me, Peter? Yes, Lord, you know I do. Peter, do you have a friendship type of love for me? Yes, Lord, you know I do. And then the 3rd time, going deeper into the word of God, praise God. And Jesus said to Simon, Simon, do you agape? Do you have a laid down yourself for me, love for me? Do you have a laid down love for Jesus, love for me? Do you have an ultimate love for me? Do you have a sacrificial love for me? Peter didn't understand it at the time, but God knew that today we would read this letter. And he said, yes, Lord, you know all things. You know I love thee. I filial thee. He said, I filial thee. He said, yes, I have a friendship type of love for you. Because Simon Peter had not been elevated to that level where he would give his life for Jesus. But later on, after the resurrection, he would. Are you hearing me, somebody? Or am I going too deep in the word of the living God? Hallelujah. There was another dispensation of time coming. A time that he couldn't see yet. The time after the cross, when the Lord was with the Father, and Peter was on his own. And Peter, remember, the rock, praise God, the 1st one that stood upon the day of Pentecost and preached fire from heaven. Wow, this is the gospel. And now Simon Peter has agape, laid down sacrificial love for Jesus. And doesn't give in, contends for the faith until the moment they crucified Peter. Hallelujah.
Amen.
people contend for the faith. Don't let anything distract you or take you a different route or take you astray or distract you or water you down. There is an expression they use, put some water in the wine or mix water with wine. If Jesus wanted you to water down things, then he wouldn't turn the water into wine. The water became real wine, not watered down wine. And the gospel is the new wine. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And it don't need watering down. It's perfect as it is. Don't let anything water you down. Don't let anything make you lukewarm. Don't let anything distract you or lead you astray. Contend for the faith. And may the grace of God be upon you all in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.